Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, May 22nd, 2022, Romans. All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, I have rather bad memories of How Great Thou Art. Not because I love How Great Thou Art. That's one of my favorite hymns. I even got it framed up in here. And after I was at Washington State University for a few years and sitting in under Pastor Breckel's ministry, I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and I loved that song. Well, then I was asked by Tracy Walders, who was my track coach in high school. He was running a camp out at Camp Reed for kids, and he wanted me to be his assistant out there and at this camp. And I said, "Well, I will if you will allow me to give the gospel. We ought to start the day off with everybody assembling together, and I'll give all the kids the gospel and a chance to believe in Christ." And then have the right to give the gospel in my cabin before we go to bed. And he said, "Absolutely, you can do that." And I said, "All right, then I'll be your assistant." Well, at that camp, I started singing How Great Thou Art. I was singing How Great Thou Art. And I thought, yeah, it wasn't too bad. So I was in Spokane with where my mom and family was, and I went to Beacon Chapel, and that's the first church I attended, and Pastor Rolf Hansen was the pastor. His son was a great basketball player and football player. Anyway, I had been singing How Great Thou Art at Camp Reed, and so I told Pastor Hansen, "I would like to sing a solo for the church." That is the worst decision I've ever made in my life. And the piano player did not start an octave lower than what he should have done. And I started singing in those notes. As I was singing this, I looked at my mother and my sister. My mother's eyes crossed, shaking their head, and I'm going, "Oh, crap." But it was good because I've never led a song or sang a solo in church again, and I won't. That's why God brought Randy here. Randy can sing solos, but if I sing a solo, it's got to be so low nobody can hear me, that's all. Yeah, I remember how great, and that's a great hymn. I love that hymn. All right, we have, as it stands, this is Romans 4, verse 17. As it stands written, quotation from Genesis 17:5, I have made you a father of many nations. And then we have, before the Lord, whom he believed, faith, rest, life. And we noted that about 7 points, pistewo means to believe, and it's used here for the function of the faith, rest, life. And faith, rest was the Old Testament system of spirituality. And as a spiritually mature believer, Abraham had maximum function of the faith, rest, life. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. He knew the promises. And he believed them. They were his life. He believed them and knew that God would fulfill what he promised. So the great parenthesis of Romans 4, 17 to 21 emphasizes Abraham's spirituality, maximum faith, rest, function. And the link between salvation and spiritual maturity is spirituality. And in the Old Testament, that was living the faith, rest, life. The Lord provided for Abraham certain promises and guarantees which became the object of his faith, rest, life. That brings us to point eight. Point eight. One special promise was reserved for Abraham when he attained spiritual maturity. Through which Abraham would become a new race, the Jewish race, and the father of many nations. One special promise was reserved for Abraham when he attained spiritual maturity, through which Abraham would become a new race, the Jewish race, and the father of many nations. 9. Abraham claimed this impossible promise in impossible circumstances. Abraham claimed this impossible promise in impossible circumstances. 10. Metabolized doctrine in Abraham's soul and occupation with Christ was more real to Abraham than his 13 years of sexual death. The Word of God in Abraham's soul and occupation with Christ was more real to Abraham than his 13 years of sexual death. Abraham was in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. He was in sexual death, and he had been in sexual death for 13 years. It is impossible for Abraham to have children. But Abraham is a spiritually mature believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ, the Word of God, is more real to Abraham than his impossible situation. So Abraham faith rested it. He took that promise, believed it, because he had total confidence in God. The spiritually mature believer has total confidence in God. Total confidence in the Word of God. And there's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things going on in America. Inflation is going through the roof. It's going to get higher and higher. You can't spend without inflation going through the roof. Everything you buy that you live on costs more. It's going to cost more. It's going to cost more. It's going to cost more. You drive a car and put gas in it. It's going to cost more. It's going to cost more. All of these things give you the opportunity to worry. Have some fear in your soul, worry. But you, none of you should. None of you in here should. You are believers in Jesus Christ. You're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know Him, you love Him, you have confidence in Him, and He will provide for you. You live your life by the grace and power of God. And so you faith rested. You don't worry. God has promised us fantastic blessings. You don't have to worry about food to eat or clothes to wear. He's provided all those things for the animals. If He provides for the animals, He'll provide for you. You don't have to worry about those things. You faith rested. You honor God. You glorify God. You walk moment by moment and day by day with Him. So Abraham claimed this impossible promise in impossible circumstances. 11. Abraham believes the Lord will do exactly what He says. And that's the winner believer. The winner believer believes the Lord will do exactly what He says. As it stands written, quotation from Genesis 17:5, I have made you a father of many nations before the Lord, whom he believed. Abraham lived the faith rest life. And then it says, even God who giveth life to the dead. This is the genitive singular of theos, plus the articular present active participle of zoapoieo, plus the accusative plural of the adjective nekros with a definite article. Theos is God, even God, and then this verb zoapoieo, rather special verb. Looks like that in the Greek. Z long O O P O I E long O. Zoapoieo. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, zoapoieo means to make alive. To make alive or give life to. In fact, point two, sometimes this verb is used for the doctrine of resurrection. This is a resurrection verb, but not in our verse. Well, it's a type of resurrection. It's a sexual resurrection. Three, Abraham's problem was sexual death, not physical death. Abraham's problem was sexual death, not physical death. Four, what we have is the resurrection of his sexual ability, the ability to procreate, the ability to have children. So what we have is the resurrection of his procreation ability. Five, after circumcision, Abraham was made sexually alive and had great sexual prosperity for many years. He was able to procreate and have children. Zoapoieo. And then the adjective nekros. N-E-K-R-O-S. Nekros. Nekros means dead. Now we have a definite article. When you have a definite article with the adjective, it makes it a substantive. Now it's a noun. And it means the dead ones. This is the sexually dead ones. Who are the sexually dead ones? Well, they're right here. Abraham and Sarah. So the sexually dead ones, the dead ones, refers to Abraham and Sarah. One, both Abraham and Sarah were in the status of sexual death. Impossible for them to have children. They had been that way for many years. Both Abraham and Sarah were in the status of sexual death. Two, both Abraham and Sarah are spiritually mature believers. They are living the faith rest life. That's Old Testament spirituality. They're living the faith rest life, Old Testament spirituality. Three, both Abraham and Sarah believed the Lord's promise to them that they would have a son. Both Abraham and Sarah believed the Lord's promise to them that they would have a son. And in this impossible situation, in this impossible circumstance, they both believed the Lord's promise to them. Four. Both believed the promises from God that He would make them sexually alive. No more sexual death. He would make them sexually alive. Five, God promised to do the impossible and make Abraham and Sarah able to procreate and have children. God promised to do the impossible and make Abraham and Sarah able to procreate and have children. Six, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Seven, God is veracity. He is infinite and absolute truth. He is infinite faithfulness to keep His promises and His word. God is not like human beings. I know a lot of people. There are a lot of people that have promised me things, and it was just hot air. I don't pay any attention. It goes in one ear and out the other. But when God promises, I have total confidence in God and His promises and His word. I know Him, I love Him, and I know He will do what He says. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will know that He will do what He says. God is veracity, infinite truth and faithfulness to keep His promises and His word. So far, as it stands written, quoting Genesis 17:5, I have made you a father of many nations before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed, faith rest life. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah. And then it says, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. That's the thundering diction of the King James. We'll straighten that up. We have the conjunction kai plus the present active participle of kaleo plus the articular present active participle of eimi with the negative me. Then the comparative particle host used as a conjunction with the present active participle eimi. I might as well read it in the Greek. I tell you all that and you just sit there. Kai kalutas, ta me anta host anta. There. Pretty good, eh? Did you hear anta, anta? Kai kaluntas, ta me anta host anta. Okay, kaleo. Well, the conjunction kai means and, connective, and then the verb kaleo. And by the way, don't fall asleep on me when I take the time, every single word, I give this to you, the conjunction chi. There are several different uses of that conjunction. It can be connective chi. It can be assensive even. It can be adjunctive also. It can be emphatic, in fact, indeed. And the verb has present tense, active voice, and it's a participle. Every part of that, God the Holy Spirit put that down to communicate truth. It's not in your English translations in your Bible, but it's in the original autographs, Koine Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament. God the Holy Spirit put that down to communicate truth. And so, yes, I do. I take the time. Sometimes I will spend, and I've talked with Debbie, I'll spend days dealing with a couple of words in my study, and I don't have anything to teach from it. I'm still letting God the Holy Spirit lead me, guide me, so that I know exactly what he's trying to say here. What are you trying to say, sir? And every part of this is important. And when, as I read this, I know that you sit out there, yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. Why do I take the time to do that? Because God the Holy Spirit put this in there exactly this way to communicate exactly what he wants you to know. So, kaleo literally means to call or to designate. With the verb eimi, it means to call into being or to call into existence. The one who calls into existence what does not exist is God. The one who calls into existence what does not exist is God, making both Abraham and Sarah sexually alive, having the ability to procreate. The articular participle is very important. It's substantival. It's a noun. And with the negative me, it should be translated, what does not exist. That's the substantival participle. What does not exist? The things that do not exist. The ability to procreate, sexual life, did not exist in either Abraham or Sarah. And then we have host with anta again, as now existing. So, corrected translation. As it stands written, quoting Genesis 17:5, I have made you a father of many nations before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed, faith rest. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah, and has called what did not exist, sexual life in both Abraham and Sarah, as now existing. One, Abraham and Sarah are both spiritually mature believers. They're both occupied with Christ. They both are living the faith rest life. Abraham and Sarah are both spiritually mature believers. They're both occupied with Christ. They're both living the faith rest life. Two, they are both in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. They're in sexual death. It's impossible for them to have children. They are both in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. They are both in sexual death. It's impossible for them to have children. Three, God has promised them that they will both be made sexually alive and have children. God has promised them that they will both be made sexually alive and have children. Four. As believers in spiritual maturity, God and the promises of His Word are more real to them than their impossible circumstances and situation. As believers in spiritual maturity, Abraham and Sarah, God and the promises of His Word are more real to them than their impossible circumstances and situation. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. Hebrews 11 is the chapter of all the Old Testament heroes, spiritually mature believers in Hebrews chapter 11. And guess who's included in the heroes in Hebrews 11? Abraham and Sarah, both are included as Old Testament heroes, spiritually mature believers. Again, point four. As believers in spiritual maturity, God and the promises of His Word are more real to them, Abraham and Sarah, than their impossible circumstances and situation. Hebrews chapter 11, a whole chapter on Old Testament heroes, winner believers, spiritually mature believers. Verse 11 and 12. By faith, and the word is pistis. Now pistis can be the act, it can mean faithfulness. It can be the act of faith, such as believing in Jesus Christ or the faith rest life. Or it can be the body of faith, that which is believed. All throughout Hebrews 11, it's the body of faith, that which is believed, the word of God. By faith, by means of the word of God that they have in their heart, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, sexual death, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Yeah, it was a hopeless situation. But they know Jesus Christ. They love Jesus Christ. They know the promises. It's a done deal. They knew he would be faithful to do what he says. This problem-solving device of faith rest is for all of you. Did you know there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God? As you go through and study, in fact, many of you keep promise notebooks, and that's fine. Keep promise notebooks and go over them, review them. But what God promises in His Word, He will do. And in the times which we live, and we're living in difficult times, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you'll live the faith rest life, moment by moment, day by day. And therefore, you'll have Christmas every single day. God has a plan for your life, and He wants you to have Christmas every single day. He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you know Him and love Him, you'll have Christmas every single day. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care what's going on in America. I don't care who's president, who isn't. I don't care what's going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. No matter what's going on in your marriage, your family, your job, doesn't make any difference. God has a plan for you, and He wants you to have Christmas every single day. He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. Everywhere I go, no matter what time of the year it is, I'm always telling people Merry Christmas. I was taking my Hummer in, and they sat down with me, and this gal says, "It's going to cost $2,000 for them to fix your Hummer." And I said, "Oh, okay, got to get it fixed. Go ahead and do it." And then as she's walking with me out, I said, "Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas." And I got in and started off. She goes, whoa, 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 wait. What did you say? I said, Merry Christmas. After everything I just told you, you tell me Merry Christmas? Well, sure. Merry Christmas. I said, if you ever get to the point where you know and love Jesus Christ, you'll have Christmas every day, no matter what. Even when the car place is going to soak you for this big deal. And then I go to the bank. And I tell the teller at the end, Merry Christmas. Now there's one there, she's heard it so often. First thing she says, Hi, Mr. Olson, Merry Christmas! And I said, Merry Christmas, Amy. There was a new gal. And as I was leaving, I said, and by the way, Merry Christmas to you. And she got a big smile on her. Evidently, Amy's clued them all in. She said, Merry Christmas to you too, Mr. Olson. Well, I hope it's Merry Christmas is true for all of you. If it's not, well, that's God kind of waking you up and saying, you know what? I got a great plan for you. And if you get with this plan and live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, guess what? You'll have Christmas every day. You'll have Thanksgiving every day. I hope that's true of all of you, with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.